Welcome to the POTUS podcast. I am your future president of the United States, Adam Deaver. Welcome to this new episode. This is going to be the first of my short episodes, and these short episodes are hopefully going to be around 10 minutes long, and they are going to hit specific policy issues that you are going to have questions about for me. So let's get started with a big one, abortion. First and foremost, we have to define the term abortion. Unfortunately, too often the term is used to describe anything having to do with a fetus. My first wife had a miscarriage. Our child died in utero, and they did what is called a DNC. A DNC is just the medical terminology that describes removing tissue from the uterus. Some people have told me that my first wife had an abortion. She would really disagree. And so would our doctors and most medical professionals that aren't trying to push some sort of political agenda or definition. When I use the term abortion, I am speaking to a very specific event. An abortion is the elective termination of a viable fetus. This is where our conversation should always start when we talk about abortion. Abortion is not the termination of a non-viable fetus. Situations such as an ectopic pregnancy, there are situations where a fetus has little to no chance of survival. A woman cannot take an ectopic pregnancy to term. Trying to do so would kill both the mom and the baby. There is absolutely no reason that situations like this and all the others that I lack the professional experience to even know about should be lumped into the abortion discussion. Ending a pregnancy because a child has Down syndrome or some other type of prenatal birth defect is abortion. Iceland has almost no children born with Down syndrome there because if Down syndrome is detected, the child is typically aborted. So my definition is pretty simple. Abortion is a choice, not something done out of medical necessity. Now that we're on the same page as to what we're talking about, we can dive a little into our subject matter. I'm not going to tell you what I am until the end of this short. In fact, I'm not even going to tell you if I'm pro-choice or pro-life. I'm just going to share with you my thoughts and I'll let you label me. But let's get a little backstory to where we are right now. Dems are pushing Roe v. Wade this election season. You hear it all the time. During Biden's State of the Union, he even chastised the Supreme Court because, you know, he wants to unite us. Somehow, they're going to codify something that the Supreme Court has put back in the hands of the states. So we'll get to this election cycle, but let's take a look at the case that legalized abortion in this country. Before the ruling in Roe versus Wade, getting abortion in the U.S., and again, I'm talking about elective termination of a fetus, was pretty much totally outlawed. A few states had their carve-out for saving the life of the mom, but some states didn't even allow for medically necessary events. As it were, women did find ways to get abortions. Options were limited, though, and complications and deaths were pretty common. Opinions on abortion began to change a little in the 50s, when a popular drug that was used to ease pregnancy symptoms was found to be causing birth defects. And this was before ultrasound, so women that had taken the drug were afraid their baby would have birth defects. Laws around abortion began to ease starting around the mid-60s, and when Roe versus Wade found its way to the Supreme Court, four states had already dropped all restrictions on abortion. What the court ultimately decided in Roe was that abortion fell under the 14th Amendment, which guaranteed that no state will deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. The court stated that in regard to liberty here, that included the liberty and freedom of choice to have an abortion. But what the court failed to do was to make that conclusion an absolute. The court left room in their decision for states to make laws surrounding abortion restrictions. So states did make laws restricting abortion, and Roe was challenged a couple of times in the Supreme Court, but was not overturned until, as we all know, 2022. When it was overturned, the current court took issue with a few of the conclusions of that 1973 court. The biggest one being that since the Constitution doesn't specifically talk about abortion, that the 1973 court should have left it a state's right issue. Also, because the 1973 court didn't make an absolute decision, they effectively created legislation and circumvented the democratic process. The other aspect the 2022 court took issue with was that the 1973 court did not take into account national precedent when they made their ruling. In other words, they didn't take into account the history of abortion restriction in the U.S. So here we are. Abortion has been returned to the states to decide, and many states wasted no time. In fact, a handful of states had trigger laws on the books, such as my home state of Texas. These laws were staged to go into effect if and when Roe was overturned. Now, I could spend hours just talking about the legal issues surrounding abortion. I could dive deep into the decision in 73 and in 2022, but that's not the point of this episode. However, I will say this in regard to legal decisions in general. This is going to be a hard ask, but when you are reacting to legal outcomes, it is absolutely imperative that you do so with as little emotion as possible. The law doesn't, or at least it shouldn't, care about your feelings. Just think about when police officers get off after accidentally shooting someone they shouldn't have. Most of the time, the reason they are getting off is because the district attorneys prosecuting those cases are going after charges that they can't land, like murder. Some states have very precise statutes that define murder, and the attorneys will go after the murder charge out of emotional public outcry. I would even go as far as saying these attorneys know they can't get a conviction on these higher charges because they don't want to alienate the law enforcement community. But you have to be able to separate emotion from law. In that sense, I side with the 2022 court. The ability to restrict abortion should have never been taken out of the hands of the states. So, now that it is back in the hands of the states, be mindful this election season as the Democrats talk about somehow codifying Roe versus Wade. They can't. Anything they pass at the federal level will have to withstand the 2022 decision. And let me make one more comment on laws and how the courts make their ruling about these laws. Congress passes laws all the time that are unconstitutional. States pass laws all the time that are unconstitutional. The only way these laws are struck down is if someone challenges the law through a lawsuit of some kind. If nobody challenges an unconstitutional law, then that law will live and be enforced until someone does. So the point I'm making is that even when things are absolutely clear-cut, like, oh, I don't know, removing a presidential candidate from a ballot because he participated in an insurrection, interpretation is still left up to human beings. And really, at the end of the day, a judge can make any rule they want to, and their justification can be purely emotional. That doesn't necessarily make it right or wrong per se, but it does complicate the matter of lawful versus unlawful. As a society, we should want lawful rulings. If lawful rulings turn our stomach emotionally, then we should figure out why and fix those laws. Anyway, now that we have a baseline and a bit of backstory to where we are now, it's time for me to tell you my position on abortion. Here goes. I believe that abortion, that is the elective termination of a viable fetus, is absolutely atrocious. It is a horrible and horrific act that I would hope no woman would ever elect to have done. I am thankful that, as a man, I will never have to make this decision for myself. Aside from the women that proudly use abortion as part and parcel of their birth control plan, I can't even begin to imagine the terrible weight, both emotionally and physically, that a woman must endure to plan and have an abortion. We, as a society, should strive to make abortion not necessary. We should strive to eliminate every reason for abortion, especially as a willful and irresponsible method of birth control. We don't do this through prohibition. If there is one thing that everyone can agree on, and should, it's that prohibition never works. But even though I hold these personal feelings on abortion, I also recognize with equal vehemence that I do not have the right to tell a woman what to do on abortion. It is each woman's right to make that decision, no matter how horrible I think that decision might be. I would hope that a woman would include the potential father in the decision, but there are countless reasons why they wouldn't. At the end of the day, there is an autonomous, free, and independent person making the decision. But make no mistake, that decision ends a human life. If you're looking for my philosophical point of view here, I tend to think along the lines of Schrodinger's cat. I have one child, and my first wife and I were actively trying. We bought a thermometer that could take readings in the hundreds, so instead of 98.6, it would read like 98.56, right? My wife's morning temperature went up about 0.15 degrees the moment she became pregnant. Literally, her oven kicked on, so we knew right away when she was pregnant. For me, life begins when you know there's a life there. It's not a group of cells growing inside a woman. It's a human child. As president, I would never sign anything that restricted access to abortion, period. No matter how distasteful I find abortion to be, I will strive to never judge those that choose to have one. Signing a restriction on abortion would not be good for the country, and that is the primary question I will always ask from behind the Resolute desk. Does this help or hurt the country? As much as I don't like abortion, I like limiting personal freedoms way less. The answer will never be overreaching criminalization or prohibition. So that's where I'm at on abortion. I hate it, but I'll never stop you from getting one. What does that make me then? Pro-life? Pro-choice? I'd hate to even choose one because either moniker comes with its own extreme definitions. Ultimately, I think we're all pro-life, or at least most of us. I don't think anyone, even people that have had abortions, are for abortions. But liberty and freedom is a very big responsibility. We have to trust people to make their own choices, no matter how much we might disagree with those decisions. And even when it comes to abortion, there are so many variables there that even if someone chooses to have one, they deserve empathy. Not to be chastised or stigmatized, empathy should always be the first reaction. But I'll leave it there, folks. That is where I stand on the abortion issue. Please send me emails or any comments that you might have on this issue. I'd love to hear from you. Definitely want to have conversations about these big ticket issues that are out there for us. Follow me on X, POTUS Deaver on X. I'm on Facebook. Of course, go to the website, adamdeaver.com is the launching pad for the podcast and the election and everything there. That's still being built, but please send me a message, participate, and I will talk to you again very soon. Thanks for listening.